welcome to the Brothers Layman Show. With the brothers, I'm Chris.
And Jonathan.
I hope you guys are having a good day. It's a great Saturday.
Beautiful day outside.
Oh, yeah. It's been a busy day at Staples Center today. There's a lot going on this weekend between the Clippers and the Lakers and the Kings in the playoffs. I mean, it's a great time for the it's a great money for the Staples Center, but it's a great time to be a L.A. sports fan.
Shout out to the L.A. Kings doing a great job representing L.A. the great way. I like that.
Oh, yeah. But first, we're going to start with the team not in L.A., but the team that everybody loves to hate, the Miami Heat.
Oh, my goodness. Here we go.
Yep, down 2-1 against the Indiana Pacers. Got their butts kicked in the last game. Roy Hibbert had a nice, solid game. Dwayne Wade,
man, very underrated center, probably what, the third best center in the league?
He's making an argument for it, definitely. But let's go. I mean, look, they started off bad. I mean, they're taking a lot of heat for the way they've been playing. So let me ask you, let's start off. I mean, you know, they're not out of it technically. They can still, you know, if they tie it up, I mean, it's back
to the way it was. They're only down one. So, I mean, of course, they're not out of it yet. And, you know, I'm not going to say LeBron and Wade can't pull it up because I've seen both of them do some unbelievable things in the past. So I'm not going to say they're completely out of it yet. But at the same time, I am going to say they are going to lose the series just for the simple fact that losing Chris Bosh was a major loss. And now without him, you have no size. No size in the paint. He was probably your most consistent player in the fourth quarter. You know, no knock on LeBron. I know everybody wants to hate on him for not taking the last shots. But look, shoot a little bit of that hate over to D-Wade, too, because D-Wade, I don't know what the heck has been going on with him in his mind, but he has just not been on his A game. He can complain and bitch at Coach Spoelstra all he wants to, but he was so lackadaisical on defense the last game, it was unbelievable. And then he was missing so many shots, held to no points in the first half. That's called defense. That's called.
That happens, but let's talk about Wade. I mean, what, 2-for-13 in the game, 5 points, probably one of his worst, if not his worst playoff performance
ever.
Five
turnovers, too? Come on.
I mean, then he gets in an argument. He's frustrated. Now, we all remember game two. He checked, dude, one of the Pacers because he was getting frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, LeBron James is taking a lot of heat for the way, you know, they're playing. I mean, it comes out, of course, that Dwayne Wade he's banged up, he's hurt. I mean,
man, I don't want to hear that as an excuse anymore. Everybody is hurt on every team. There's always somebody on every team that's hurt. It's playoff time. Guys are, of course, banged up. Plus, they barely had a training camp. It was a 66-game season, so many back-to-back games. Everybody's banged up right now. It may not be on the injury report, but guys are nicked up and beat up. So I don't want to hear injury as an excuse. There ain't no excuse as far as I'm concerned. If you out there on the court, you playing. You either hurt or you're injured. And if you're on the court, then you just hurt. You ain't injured. Injured means you ain't playing.
Nah, that's true. And we all saw the spat that they've been playing around when, you know, he and Spoelstra got into it. I don't know. I'm kind of iffy on the take on that. I mean, I think, you know, it's playoff basketball and people get heated. I remember the whole thing with Westbrook and Durant last season and all that. But, I mean, this is Dua's coach who clearly, they say he
clearly
may not
respect him. Was frustrated with him also.
I mean, do you think that was what do you think of it? You think it's a big deal, not a big deal?
I honestly don't think it's a big deal. I mean, it happens all the time. You see it all the time where coaches get into it a little bit with their players. It happens. Now, if Wade lets that affect him or the coach lets that affect him, then we've got a major issue. But if they just kind of brush it off, you know, it's no big deal.
Oh, yeah. Spoelstra he downplayed and said it wasn't really nothing, you know, so he's on agreement that people just have it. But I guess this is a shock for people Dwayne Wade hadn't done this. And he's been, you know, argument is, you know, he even said it himself, he, you know, took a little step back so LeBron could do his thing. And, you know, of course, LeBron wins. It's the MVP, and you know, arguably, he is the better player than Dwayne Wade.
And for that reason, guys got to kind of back off on LeBron on all this. You know, that he don't have that killer instinct. Apparently, Dwayne Wade ain't got it either. You're deferring to LeBron, man. You're supposed to have that killer instinct. This is supposed to be Dwayne Wade's team.
Yeah, cool. I think it's weird how everybody was like, it wasn't a good fit. And I was with that group. I didn't think, you know, their games were too similar. I didn't know how they were going to work. But at the same time, once they got together, it was like, oh, they breaking 72 wins. They're going to break the record, sweep with ease. It don't matter who's on their team. They got these three players. It really doesn't matter. They're going to whoop ass anyway. And let's just, you know, should we get in the trophy now or later? All right, well, let's decide.
Yeah, I really didn't like that. Didn't really care for LeBron's that whole 2-7 championship garbage. I really didn't appreciate that. Showing the little spat on ABC right now with Coach Spoelstra and D-Wade. D-Wade got to calm it down, man. You can't yell at your coach like that, especially with all those players on the bench. You know, they're looking up to you, man. You're supposed to be a leader of the team. Can't do that.
Yeah,
especially in the heat of the battle like this, you're getting your butt kicked. You got to be the one to calm everybody down and say, you know what, we're still in this. You getting frustrated like that lets everybody else know, especially it lets the Pacers know, we in your head now.
Yeah, oh, clearly they've been getting in their heads already. You know, we saw the whole Danny Granger, LeBron James back and forth from people saying that.
Oh, that's been going way back. People don't remember, but they had a little thing going back to when LeBron was in Cleveland going at it. Oh, Danny Granger can be a little dirty and a little nasty, but I like Danny Granger. He's an awesome player.
Oh, yeah, he's one. I mean, they're going at it in this series. I mean, they're matched up together. They're the ones guarding each other. And, you know, I ain't going to lie. I mean, the two times that he got into his face were because LeBron James put the elbow up. I don't know if people seen that, but if you watch the replay.
Oh, yeah.
Especially
if
when
you watch
that
replay,
yeah,
LeBron
he pulled
threw
the jersey
up his elbow. Mm-hmm.
He didn't look. He didn't turn around. He just threw it up. Like in protection, and I don't blame Danny Granger. Like, hey, dude, yeah, I'm holding your jersey. I'm fouling you. I'm not swiping you, hitting you on the head. I'm just, you're not getting there. That's a foul. Why are you throwing your elbow up? If he's being smart, I mean, I guess he's kind of like, all right, you know, I'm not going to get involved in that. He ain't got to retaliate like,
man,
you ain't got to
so
push
many
him
other ways you can retaliate. Nobody's saying you got to hit the fool, but you know, don't walk away. Forget that. You coming up in my face, I'll get right back in your face. You hit me, you getting suspended. But I'll get right back in your face and talk right back to you like it's nothing.
Yeah.
Don't get in my face. But LeBron, man, I'm sorry. LeBron, starting to get a little soft in my opinion.
Yeah, it's getting in his head, man. I mean, he's not that fiery guy that – I mean, he is a guy he's unselfish, I guess, to a fault. And he's been anointed. So everybody's like, well, why don't you win the, you know, you the baller. You the greatest player ever.
Well,
according to all these people, what do something.
In this case, I mean, is it safe to say that LeBron James is not the best player ever?
Oh, he ain't the best player ever. I mean, clearly that. But, I mean, you know, I mean,
some of that is
the fault we put
putting,
on.
Putting everything into contact. Everything.
Mm-hmm.
Is LeBron James the best player in the league?
Is he the best player in the league?
Is LeBron James
right now
the best player in the NBA right now?
Yes, even now, but I would yes, he is. I'll give him that. He is because he's as of right now he is in his prime. I mean, the only thing he can't really do, he's not a good free throw shooter.
I don't know.
And he doesn't have his jumper is, you know, suspect still. But, I mean, you know.
That's the exact reason I cannot anoint him the best player in the game right now.
Well, who would you say the best player in the game is?
The best player in the game right now. You put everything together, Chris Paul. Let me tell you why. Chris Paul came to the Clippers, who have been a bottom-of-the-barrel team forever. They finally got a point guard who is unbelievable, who can shoot, who can rebound, who can assist, who can play solid D, who can shoot free throws, hit the three-pointer. He can do everything. And he has that fire. And he's a good dude. Gets no trouble outside off the court. Comes to that team, and look what happens. This team gets to the second round. Yeah, they're getting their butts kicked, but, I mean, look, it's the Spurs, people. The Spurs are a different beast than every other team this year. They're deeper than every other team this year. You look at the names on the Spurs team, Chris Paul is the best player in the league, bar none. I don't care what anybody says.
Okay, I mean, I like Chris Paul. It's, you know, I mean, LeBron James is 6'9", 260. He can defend. He can rebound. He can pass. I mean, the dude goes to the hole like nobody business.
Can't hit the clutch shots in the last 2 minutes.
He can.
He is the opposite of Tim Tebow, folks. He plays great for the first 46 minutes, and in the last two, he turns into your average Joe.
Dude, I mean, people act like he ain't never been clutch ever. He was. But everybody's memory goes back to that game five, his last season in Cleveland, where he had that game where he was just not into it and they lost to Boston. Ever since then,
well,
he ain't been clutch. What about that game? The game in Detroit when he played Detroit that base? He brought them Cleveland back by himself. Or
well,
talking about the game where he tiptoed, where he traveled and tiptoed. He's hit shots. In terms of since he's been in Miami, not really.
But let's be honest here. When he was in Cleveland, he had to shoot all those shots. Why? Because Cleveland didn't surround him with anybody. So what did he have to do? Everything, of course. So he had to take the last shot. You're getting the last shot. Now you're on a team where you have Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade. They don't guarantee you're getting the last shot. When he was in Cleveland, he had to take the last shot. He didn't have a choice. Because if you let some Joe Schmo take the last shot, the fans are going crazy. Of course you're getting the last shot. You're the king. You're the king. You're getting the last shot.
I understand some of the criticism and shit. But, I mean, like, the game two where they ran the play for Dwayne Wade, he misses the layup, but somehow it's still LeBron James' fault that he didn't get.
I don't know.
I don't get
that. On that game, I give credit where credit is due. I give blame to D-Wade for that. LeBron James was on fire in that game. And to not give him the ball towards the end was stupid on their part. I can't blame LeBron for that. D-Wade wanted to take over and do his thing, so that was D-Wade's fault for that one.
Okay, so let's see. They got game four tomorrow in Indy. They do not want to go back home. You know, going back home 2-2 where you got two games at home, versus down 3-1 and you 1-1 away from getting knocked out. I mean, all right, let me ask you this. Who do you think is going to win game four and who has more pressure on them for Miami, LeBron James or Dwayne Wade to deliver?
Well, game four, I honestly think Indiana's going to win.
Okay.
The reason being, like I said initially, you ain't got Chris Bosh. You got no size, man. Joel Anthony in the middle. He's not doing anything to Roy Hibbert. I mean, come on. We just saw Roy Hibbert put up 19 points and 18 boards and 5 blocks. Joel Anthony is not doing anything to Roy Hibbert. Who's your power forward? Now you slid in Udonis Haslam into the starting five. Now your bench has no power forward. So they have no depth, and to me that's the exact reason they're going to lose. You put this whole team together, these three players, you spent all your money, and then you got – a bench of nobodies. That's not how you win a championship. You win a championship by getting depth and putting quality players together. I may be, you know, biased a little bit to the Bulls because I'm a Bulls fan, but look, you look at the Bulls for a prime example. The year LeBron James and D-Wade and all of them went to Miami, all three of them each had an opportunity to go to Chicago. What did all of them do? They want to go to Miami. So, okay, you know what Chicago did? Fine. We got Carlos Boozer. Nice little piece in the power forward. We needed a post-up guy. Okay, add Kyle Korver. Can shoot threes. You add Ronnie Brewer, who's an excellent defender. You add C.J. Watson, excellent backup point guard. Look at the pieces they're putting together. Not to mention they already had Luol Deng, Joakim Noah, Derrick Rose, Taj Gibson. Then Omar Sheik comes over. Look, that's 10 deep you got there. And look at the quality of depth you got. So if somebody's down, you can easily slide somebody back in. Then you look at Miami. You went and got Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh and LeBron. Oh, yeah, we're going to win. Okay, who's your point guard? Mario Chalmers. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Who's your starting center? Joel Anthony. Oh, okay.
Well, he was starting center.
Yeah, okay. And then you gave Mike Miller all this money, who I liked Mike Miller, you know, but – history says he was hurt all the time, and once again, he got hurt again. Then you added Mike Bibby, who's lasted a year and now is whack. Then you got Juwan Howard for what? I don't know. He doesn't play. Then you added Eric Dampier for what? He's soft and whack, and he ain't playing either. Then this year, you added Eddie Curry for what? You had another year you guys could have used your little minimum to add some quality pieces. Did you? No, you didn't. So you got who? You got – and then they talking about what? They want to add Steve Nash next year and Jason Terry. Do you really think they coming for the veteran minimum? No.
Hell no.
You're not going to get players like that for the veteran minimum? You kidding me? It's not happening. So, and I hate to say it, if Miami gets knocked out in this round by Indiana, they're going to have to break that team up, period. They're going to have to trade either Chris Bosh and get you some depth around LeBron and D-Wade, or you're going to have to trade Dwayne Wade. Because let's be honest, they're not trading LeBron James.
They're not trading LeBron James.
So,
the one banged up hurt.
I hate to say it, but D-Wade might be traded if they don't win this season.
Okay,
they
I'll say this. Okay. Well, let me ask you, before I say my who do you think, who's more important, who has to show up more tomorrow, Wade or LeBron?
D-Wade, of course, by far. LeBron, in all honesty, LeBron's pretty much been doing his part, minus the free throw shooting at the end of the game and all that crap. LeBron's been doing his. He's been doing what he does. He's getting his 25-5. He's doing that. D-Wade, on the other hand, dude, I mean, you just had, like, probably the worst game of your playoff career. Yeah, you got to bounce back. Because the only reason y'all didn't get smashed, super smashed the last game, is because Mario Chalmers dropped 20.
Right.
Had Mario Chalmers not dropped 20, the game would have been lost by 40. And then we really would have been hearing some serious stuff about the game. So, D-Wade got, in my opinion, has all the pressure. Indiana, honestly, has no pressure on them at all. Nobody expects them to even win still.
No, but they need
no
pressure.
They got no pressure.
Well, there's no pressure if they were down and all like that. But right now, there's pressure on them because, you know, if they go back to Miami tied, the pressure is back on them because now they got to win in Miami again.
Yeah.
But, okay, my thing is I thought about that, and I was like, I was under the agreement. I actually thought, like, if they were going to ball without Chris Bosh, that they would trade him, but clearly they can't do that. So this is, what, their second year of the six-year plan? They'll have to stick with it for a while. I don't think they can trade. They're not going to want to trade D-Wade yet. They're not. They may want to or may feel like they have to, but they're not going to do that yet. They got to, like, look, I mean, they all three signed up where they have an opt-out clause after year four. So my thing is, I think they'll if they lose, you know, they can say, well, Chris Bosh was hurt, you know, so that's why we lost, and we don't have an inside presence like that. Okay, so you go into year three. Year three is it. Because after year three, they're going to know, well, if it ain't working, one of them can opt out after that fourth year.
Yep.
So I think they'll give it one more run. They got it. They can't. You can't go in for six and then like, all right, after 2 years, then like, all right, it's done. They clearly are good. They've been favored. They'll probably be favored again.
Of course.
If it doesn't come out to whoever, whoever comes out the East, if they don't win it, Miami's gonna be favored to win the East again.
Of course.
Even with the same team, they're gonna be favored. So no, I don't think they're gonna blow it up yet. Ooh, that's going to be a rough summer if they lose.
I tell you what,
losing
in
the finals,
they don't,
not the second round, shoot.
They don't add any pieces this offseason. They ain't winning again next year. It ain't going to make a difference. You can't come in with the same exact team and expect to win. That ain't going to happen. We'll be right back.
Okay, since we are in Los Angeles, let's talk about the L.A. Lakers. Down 2-0, couldn't go down 3-0, pulled out a tight one. They actually reversed what happened in the other game. They actually stole the lead from Oklahoma City at the end. And now they're up. Now they're down just 2-1, got a little bit of life left.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. I mean,
look,
I'm
man.
Not. Go ahead. Say what you're going to
I know what Laker fans are going to say, and, you know, I'm glad you guys are encouraged by the last win. But let's just be honest with ourselves. Y'all are playing a back-to-back. Y'all are playing two games in less than 24 hours. Who's going to be more rested? The younger guys, of course. That's a no-brainer. You got these older dudes who are probably putting everything they had yesterday to win that game. Barely won. The only reason they did win is because they shot like 42 free throws, which is absurd. But that's be it. That's neither here nor there. they put everything they had into last game. Won by what? Few points. I can almost guarantee it, and I'm calling it tonight. Oklahoma City is gonna whoop their ass. Period.
Well, yeah. I mean, they did some things right. They out rebounded them 44 to what? 37.
That ain't happening again.
You don't think that's happening again?
Nope.
Okay, that's a nice dub. We'll see how that go. But they,
no.
I mean, Kobe had a nice game when he put up 36 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals.
What did
he
shoot?
18 of 18 free throws.
What did he shoot?
He was 9 of 25.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
But,
9 of 20 freaking 5.
Yeah, well, I mean, if he gonna send him to the line 42 damn times.
Well,
I mean,
thanks, refs. You know that.
You send the home team to the line that many times. That's not a good. That's not going to help you win the game.
Like, come on, dude. You in the series in Oklahoma City, they let them be physical. It was a physical game. It was a physical series those first two games, and then you look at this last game here in L.A. They are calling foul after foul after foul. It's like, oh my goodness, are you kidding me?
Call home court, man.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous. But for Oklahoma City, man, Kendrick Perkins, he got to step it up. He got to step it up a notch because 5 boards, 2 points, man, that is not going to – that ain't going to cut it in the playoffs, man. You got to come a little bit better than that.
They're going to need a little bit more from their role players. I mean, they big three didn't shoot all that well. I mean, Kevin Durant had a nice game, shot pretty well, 31 points. Westbrook actually had one turnover. Wow, but one assist.
Yeah.
That ain't gonna fly either.
That ain't a good ratio.
I mean, James Harden got to the line, but he was 4-13. But I mean, it was close. They had a chance to win, and so they didn't get blown out. So I mean, they'll come back. Look at what they need to do.
Yeah.
But you know, Andrew Bynum had a solid game, a little 15-11, 3 blocks.
Bynum had a nice game.
But he shot 2-13.
Had a nice game.
Oof.
Sessions finally came out and did something.
Yeah.
What they needed.
Yes, they saved themselves where they weren't going to have a game 4 meltdown.
So we'll see what happens with that.
What you think on, I mean, they playing back-to-back tonight. I don't know why the NBA did. I guess it's because neither one of them teams could fucking
it's
not because win and go to 7.
It's thing, I believe.
No,
Kings had it tied up Sunday.
Yeah, I also think – I heard previously that they, you know, there was talk that the playoffs would be a little tight. There might be some back-to-backs because of the shortened season.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just so happened that the Lakers and the Clippers couldn't finish off their teams until 7 games. So, you know, they had to put it, you know, make them quick to keep them in there. Which, I mean, let's talk about Andrew Crybaby Bynum. What is up with him? I mean,
he just hasn't matured yet. He's what? He's been in the league forever.
Seven years.
You would think by now he's gotten it through his head. I mean, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was tutoring the kid. You would think he'd have.
He was trying.
But
he rejected him.
And if Kareem can't get to you and Phil can't get to you, I don't know, boy. I really don't think Mike Brown's the guy to get through to him.
I mean, it's an interesting case.
What I think about Andrew Bynum, I think Andrew Bynum wants the Lakers. He wants to be the guy.
But he sure is really not.
But he can't be the guy until Kobe's gone. And
not necessarily, but he has to be more of a leader. I mean, if he's gonna pout and just be like, well, it's like Christmas, we just giving them away. Like, dude, what the hell? Like, okay, I mean, it's cool to have your little frustration, you know, but get in the huddle, stop sitting by yourself.
He
you know, acting aloof.
Popped up to in his head. I mean, I don't know. He's a
yeah, cause like the closeout games are easy. All you gotta do is step on them and they'll fold. Like, okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Just keep them coming, Andrew. Keep them coming. Go ahead and say something to piss off Oklahoma City.
Now they'll opt in to keep that player option, but you know, of course, in the way the NBA season works now, if he doesn't sign an extension, what are the Lakers gonna do? Because you know that's always a question. Oh, you're not signing. You want to be a free agent? Well, we might have to trade you. I mean, that's how it is now. But it wasn't like that before. Before, you was like, all right, the dude's going into free agency, and we'll just be prepared.
Yep.
You know, now it's like, oh, you know, you don't want to sign an extension? No, well, are we trading you?
Exactly.
Like, damn. It's like, it's your fault. Why don't you want to sign an extension? You suck. You must not like the team. Like, damn. I ain't never been a free agent. Can I be a free agent? Nope, you can't.
Yeah.
We want to have full control of you.
Yep. That's
oh, you want
goes,
to?
Man.
You
want
to go? Nope, you can't.
That's how it goes. I would say for those restricted free agents, dude, just sign your tender. Just sign your one-year tender. Play out your contract. Just go about your business. Don't say nothing. And just, you know, play it out. So if they trade you to another team, just play out your contract. Go about your business.
Yeah, so if the Lakers end up losing, which I think they're going to lose today also, I think Oklahoma City is going to get a little bit more focused and, you know, try to, you know, win the game so they can close it out at home. If the Lakers end up losing this series, what change do you think they're going to make? Are they going to is it blow the team up time or what?
If the Lakers lose this series, Gasol's gone. I can tell you that.
Yeah, I totally
agree. Gasol will be gone. They're going to probably... I mean, they're going to get rid of pretty much all their bench and start their whole bench over again. So pretty much the only familiar faces you're going to have on the team are going to be Kobe, Bynum. You're probably going to have Ramon Sessions because, you know, he's still under contract.
Oh, yeah, he's a nice
guy. And that might be it.
No, I mean, who's going to – ain't nobody taking Meta World Peace.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, forgot about Ron Artest. I refuse to call that man Meta World Peace.
Well, ain't nothing peace about him.
Ain't nothing peaceful about that man. Ron Artest.
Jordan Hill's nice to see if they want to pay him. Jordan Hill, he's a nice service.
Oh, yeah,
He's actually played pretty well.
I thought he was a solid pickup for them. He's been a little, I think he's been a little misused as a player since he's come out from Arizona. But you know, with the Lakers, he might get an opportunity, which is another reason why I think they'll trade Gasol. Jordan Hill's a cheaper option. He's younger. He's athletic. So.
Oh, yeah. He ain't starting for sure. But, I mean, he's, what, $20 million? You already got Kobe almost going to make $25, $30. You know,
you
more likely Jim Buster's going to – yeah, he's going to pay Bynum, of course. You know, and they already high in the luxury tax.
Yeah.
You only got, what, two more years before that new tax kick in and they start charging everybody up an arm and a leg.
Exactly.
Man, I can't wait. Well, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I will be tuning in to watch the Lakers play. And once again, y'all, was letting y'all know this is the Brothers Lehman Show with Chris and Jonathan Lehman. Hope you guys enjoying yourself. You guys want to chime in, let us know. Voice your opinions on what's going on in the playoffs. You can hit us up at – email us at thebrotherslehman@gmail.com. That's the Brothers Lehman, L-E-H-M-A-N, like the defunct financial company, L-E-H-M-A-N. Lehman Brothers Lehman, not Lehman Brothers. All right.
Check me out, y'all. It's L-Zai in your area. About to back slap and bury it. Check it.
Now let me show you how I blaze it. Leave niggas in the basement on waste pit. Shit trickier than the maze get. Everything I drop raw, cut you like a chop saw. You should stop like when a cop draw before he pop, y'all. You get your fort crushed, acting out of sorts and don't support us. You must snort dust riding the short bus. Cause I'm an animal, scratch that, I'm the manual. Pull out, swinging the metal like mechanical movement. Soon as the groove hits, I prove that you need improvement. Since I'm so smooth at whatever I maneuver with, and I ain't bragging, player. You get your spot, got what I jot. It's hotter than the Dragon Slayer. It's only right you should show me light, because the flow be tight. I wouldn't slip on a snowy night. I'm vexed now, who shall I bomb next? New school or an old timer like a Timex? Simple minded with a complex. My glare disrupt the cameras. I keep promoters scratching their name out and tearing up their banners. When I write, cigars flare again. The bar's buried in the song. It's by the strongest barbarians. Far scary than the omen. Chicks give me dome in my home while I'm sitting spitting poems about your cloning. It's for my real heads and paragraphs. Addict. I'll kill the airtime, compare it to asthmatic. Yeah, it's like that, you know it's like that. I'm who you internet haters wanna strike at. Don't make me show up to your porch with a spike back and leave your front and rear tires on your bike flat. Defeat and kill, delete your skill. You think you're sweet until I cut you off and leave you in the cold like you haven't paid your heater bill. Fuck your squad and your street appeal. Eat a deal's nick, click, fleet until my kicks is in your leader's grill. For real.
Do with, you know, to lock it up.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, they had a lead and blew it, which they have been known to do lately.
It happened. But, I mean, Philly's no slouch, man. They beat my Bulls team. So, I mean, Philly has some quality players. I like Andre Iguodala. I think he's a solid player. I like Lou Williams off the bench. I think he's a good player. So, They're putting up a little bit of a challenge, but in the end, I think Boston will win due to just the experience that they have.
Oh yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, Garnett had a rough game. He's still putting down 11 rebounds, but 3 of 12, 7 turnovers. That's not gonna fly. I mean, they're trying. I mean, Ray Allen he ain't been Ray Allen all season. Well, all the playoffs, he's just been missing. Which is sad to see. You know, he's in the last year of his contract. He's banged up.
Ever since that injury, man.
Yeah, he ain't been the same. But, I mean, they had the chance, and they blew it. I mean, I think Boston should pull this out. But, I mean, Philly knows slash. Philly plays a nice defense. They physical. You know, Iguodala's been stepping up. Like you said, Lou Williams. Evan Turner, outside of that 5-for-22 game. But, I mean, 9 boards. I mean, they got a nice little young core.
Yeah.
And they're going back. Back to Boston. We'll see how that play out. I mean, who needs to step up in Game 5 to make sure Boston wins or Philly?
Well, I mean, it's got to be your longtime Boston player, Paul Pierce. That's the truth, man. He got to come out, got to fire, and the bench has definitely got to step up, man. Because if the bench doesn't play well, I mean, guys can't do everything.
Yeah, I mean, they got some nice. I mean, Brandon Bass showed up. We had 15. 6-10, nice game. But, yeah, they are going to need more from their bench and their role players, obviously. I mean, they big four got to carry them, and that's how it is.
I mean Rondo
they
had
can't.
A game.
Yeah, but they can't lose games like that.
But, yeah, man, you come out firing 20-5 on the team, you got to just step on the gas, man. Mm-hmm. You can't take your foot off the pedal.
No, I just hit a cold streak and then just went nothing, went up. I mean, and they're already talking them maybe coming out the East, which is, I mean, you figure, you know, they came out in Game 3, and you were like, oh, wow, okay, they're taking this team seriously, since they didn't seem to the first couple games. You're like, all right, they serious, they really up in Philly. You know, and you figured, all right, you clearly watching Miami struggle, that they may not get out. This is your opportunity. Like, wow, that's an opportunity for us to make it to the championship, possibly. I mean, let's not fool around.
Exactly.
And they go and fuck up and, you know, now make it tougher on them.
Yeah.
I mean, they get 2 home games, but, you know, Philly ain't going away. I mean, Boston is going to be ruckus. It's going to be cracking in the garden, but.
Oh, Boston is going to come with their A game, so Philadelphia better be ready. Because they're going to get smacked in the face.
Yeah, you know Doc Rivers went up in that on that ass and was like.
Oh, yeah, he chewed him out. He chewed him out good.
That's what he does. I love Doc Rivers, man. He's a great coach.
Oh, he's awesome.
He had a few years in Orlando where he was just butting. Wasn't he coach of that team that was like 1-20 and or lost like 18 straight games or some shit?
Yeah, I believe that was him.
Yeah, and all of a sudden he turned it around. So, I mean, you got to give these young guys credit. I mean, give the coaches some time to get the ring. I mean, Eric Spoelstra, he's always going to be a target. You know,
oh, yeah, Eric Spoelstra is always going to be the target just because, I mean, you have LeBron and you have D-Wade and you have Chris Bosh, so you have to win.
Right.
That's just the way it is.
But there's been some good coaches. I mean, Doug Collins coming back and, you know.
Doug Collins doing an awesome job, man. I think he's a good coach. He's a very underrated coach. I think, in all honesty, the team, I think, really could have used Doug Collins the most, Charlotte Bobcats. I think they really could have used him.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great teacher. I mean, Philly lucked out. He's a hard-nosed guy. I mean, even Sacramento could use a guy like that. Just coaches like him, like Rick Adam, and guys who are winners but who love teaching the game.
Yeah, I do agree with that. Definitely agree with that.
Let's see, the last series that's actually on right now, my squad, Spurs, here in L.A., God, I wish I could have got tickets to that.
What I have been waiting for.
Clip Spurs, man. Spurs trying to take a commanding 3-0 lead. You know, L.A., this is probably the Clippers' biggest game ever. So I can't, you know, I want to see what the Spurs are going to do. I mean, I'm not expecting a sweep at all. I don't get that far ahead of myself.
I am, for sure.
You can do that. I never get that far ahead, but not with my team, I can't think that far. But, yeah, I know you want to sound off on them.
Let's just get this over with. The Spurs are a whole different team as opposed to every other team this year. They're going to go to the finals, period. I mean, you just
look
at...
They're going to beat Oklahoma City like that?
Yes. Because for the simple fact, they're the deepest team that's left in the league. You have the best coach in the league on your team. And let's just be honest, you have arguably the best power forward to ever play the game on your team.
Yeah.
You have a
looking like
the point guard on your team in Tony Parker. You got Manu Ginobili who can kill you starting or coming off the bench, which he's coming off the bench today, it looks like. So, I mean, you got Boris Diaw, who they picked up after he was cut by Charlotte, which, oh, my goodness, I couldn't
believe
it.
Lovely pickup. He was out of shape, but I loved it. Great pickup.
Traded Richard Jefferson, who really didn't do anything for them, for Steven Jackson, who is a great scorer, underrated player, played for the Spurs before, so he kind of knows the system. Popovich is familiar with him. So then you look, you got Duncan, you got Dewan Blair, you got Gary Neal, you got Danny
Thiago
Green.
Thiago Splitter.
You got Thiago Splitter.
Red
and
Rocket.
Let's not even forget about the rookie Jawhi Leonard. This team can just kill you 10, 11 deep. I mean, they're the best. They're what? They're the only team in the playoffs who's averaging over 100 points a game. They're killing teams in three-point shooting, hitting almost 50% of their threes. I mean,
come on. They won 16 straight games going back to the regular season. They hot. They're the best.
They've just been blowing teams out. And let's just be honest. The Clippers ain't making it easy for them. Chris Paul, the best player in the league, is banged up right now, hurt himself bad in the Memphis game. So he clearly is not 100% in this series. I mean, you can just tell.
He's going to need a big game, though.
He's going to have to step it up big. He's been trying to do what he can, but, you know, he can only do so much when he's banged up like this.
Same thing with Miami, no excuses.
Yeah, I hear you. There's no excuses, but, I mean, he's doing what he can. But, I mean, the guy who's got to step up to me is Blake Griffin. I mean, I know he hurt himself, but in the last game to grab one rebound, I don't care how much you can't jump, dude. Steve Blake grabbed 8 rebounds last night, okay? And from what I heard, white men can't jump. So if that's the case, there's no excuse for grabbing one rebound. He just look and just looking right now, he doesn't seem all that interested. This is a guy who went from putting up 20 points, 11 boards in the regular season. Now he's grabbing what, like 6 in the playoffs? 6 rebounds? 6 rebounds? Come on, bro. You got to do better than that. I mean, yeah, he scored 20 points, but you had one rebound and one assist. That's not all-star. That's not all-star right there.
That's not being the second best player on the team.
Yeah, that's good player, but that's not all-star. I mean, come on.
That's that fucking Brooke Lopez.
Yeah, that's that's some Brooke Lopez. That's some Eddie Curry type stuff. You can't do that.
No, yeah, not if you Blake Griffin. No, you need to just, you need to be cleaning the glass.
Got to clean the glass. I've already had an issue with his blocking shots because he don't do it for as high as he can jump. Look at him trying to run up right now, trying to get an alley oop.
Nope.
But you right now, you trying to get a lob, but you can't grab a rebound. Okay, I see how you play.
Yeah,
that I don't like. I don't like that.
No, I don't like my power forward getting one fucking board.
Getting one rebound, dude. You can't have.
And it ain't like the Spurs is like hella big and physical in the paint. I mean, they playing them physically, but
exactly.
I mean, come on, this ain't. You know, I could see that against, you know, Marc Gasol and Zach Randolph. They just banging the crap out of you. But I'm like, dude, he's quick enough to be getting more than one rebound. That ain't gonna work.
So,
I mean, if you want to take his game to the next level, you got to do better than that.
Especially in the playoffs, man. Playoff time is where you got to step up and got to make your make a name for yourself. So if he ain't stepping up like this in the playoffs, I believe people are going to start talking about him in the off season.
Oh no, he's going to get questions. I think he's aware, but clearly he's got some work to do, and that's fine. I mean,
everybody got work to put in.
You know, but now that this team, they got in the second round of the playoffs, more likely going, this is where they're going to get. You know, y'all was banged up. You know, I know Chris Paul is going to ball his ass off tonight.
Chris Paul,
he had two boo-boo games.
Chris Paul is going to do whatever he can to get this team a win. I know that for a fact. That's just the mentality he has. So,
Clippers
going to give it everything they got, but, I mean, I'm sorry. The Spurs just have too much firepower.
Yeah, they do, man. I'm loving it. They deep. They rolling. Like you said, Steven Jackson was a great ad. I'm actually surprised Larry Bird won it. I was quite surprised. I thought it was going to the Clippers GM for sure. I mean, just pulling off the Chris Paul trade itself was like you figured.
You look at
some of the
moves that Larry Bird did make that really didn't make the headlines. You know, David West got over there. That was a big pickup for them.
Oh, David West was like a perfect.
Got them a veteran presence.
At the
moment,
what they needed.
Then you look at the trade deadline, picking up a guy like Leandro Barbosa. That was a smooth pickup. You get
a guy that was real quick,
can score off the bench, can play a little point guard if he needs to, play shooting guard. So
I mean, basically
that
trading.
Was a smooth move.
Oh, yeah, and then the George Hill for the pick that ended up being Kawhi Leonard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I ain't going to lie, both teams got up. That was a great trade
for
both
teams. That was a good trade for both teams, so.
I mean, I ain't mad at him. I mean, I think, you know, I do think a little bit was the fact that he was a player that it was going to be the first time ever a guy wins MVP, Coach of the Year, and Executive of the Year. I mean, I think that was partially tempting also.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, look, I thought the clip, I mean, he get Chris Paul, you get Chauncey Billups off, you know, waiver.
We signed
Caron. Clearly, and you can tell. I mean, yeah, you signed Caron Butler.
You got Nick Young.
Yeah, you kept DeAndre, and you traded nothing to get Nick Young. I mean, you picked up Reggie Evans and Kenya Martin, who have, you know, Reggie Evans was damn near their hero for their series with Memphis. He was like they X factor.
And here we go, the prime example of what I'm talking about. Blake Griffin just caught a lob, one rebound. I'm just saying, people. Look, read in between the stat lines.
It's still early, but yeah, I mean, Duncan's going to take him to school.
Oh, yeah. Right now, it's Clippers are doing a little damage, but it's only the first quarter, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate that. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back and listen to the Lehman Brothers.
Today on the program, trade talks continue here in New York City, but it doesn't disturb his productivity on the field.
For your epitaph, niggas laugh, chicks steady gash your ass, siphoning out your cash, seeing the doors in flash while I stay in clothes, walking out in my clothes, she says,
no one's waiting for nothing.
You motherfucking right, wanting this shit every night, finish up and hold it tight, wearing feelings on my sleeve, even when I have to leave, cooler than the evening breeze, do you believe?
No one's waiting for nothing.
The division one leader in the rebound, maneuvering shorties, off the post, going coast to coast, she on the hardwood, sub him out the game, she saying, nah, he good, I mean,
no one's waiting for nothing.
For no amount of dough, franchise this man. Give him all the things you can. Think long term plans. He be bringing in the fans. Front page magazine. Listen to this lady scream.
No one's waiting for nothing.
Cause she know what's better for her. Top one in the pecking order. Fluid like the running water. Nicest nigga, kinda sorta. When he scream, it's just a slaughter. No matter the quarter.
No one's waiting for nothing.
the clubhouse king. Batting practice, slugger swing. Game time, same thing. When I'm in, you're about a minute. Holding the bat, as good as fact. She's out the park and coming back. She's saying,
I was waiting for nothing.
Everywhere you sit, you get a good view of the ball player at all. In the famous hall, inevitably, we'll make a call. Hanging memorabilia from your walls. This is why you can't trade me.
I was waiting for nothing.
When asked about the trade rumors, he simply replied that he's just here to produce and put forth the best effort for him.
All right, y'all. Thanks for listening in. We're back. The Lehman Brothers back. Now, we've gone over all the teams that have already been in the playoffs. Let's talk about the ones. What are the other teams that they're going to do now that they're out? Let's start with your Chicago Bulls that just went injured and injured and injured and injured. Damn. Now, we already talked about them maybe blowing up the big three in Miami. Are you ready to break things up in Chicago?
Oh, not yet. Not at all. You got to give it one more year. I think you signed, you know, Ronnie Brewer, you signed Kyle Korver, you signed C.J. Watson, all of them were signed to, you know, they had player options for the third year. So I think they're going to opt in, you know, see how the recovery progress goes with Derrick Rose. And I think they'll be okay. I mean, Boozer played good this year. I mean, come playoff time, he wasn't, you know, what he should have been. But Boozer played all right. He was healthy, which is a plus. So now that he's healthy, he's just getting in the groove of, man, you got to get in that mentality that we got to win. And, I mean, Noah, I read that he will be training with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar this summer. So nice. We'll see what happens on that, trying to work on some offensive game. Taj Gibson's coming back, so we'll see what happens with that. He's a growing power forward. And I'm ready, man. Derrick Rose, you know, it was unfortunate that, you know, he had to tear his ACL. But, I mean, you know, that's the warrior mentality he has. I mean, that's what makes great players great. He wanted to be out there. And, I mean, it was good that he was out there. He was doing good things for us, but he just landed awkward. So it happens, part of the game. But he'll get back on his feet. You know, luckily he's young enough. He's only like 22, 23 years old. So luckily he's young enough to where, you know, hopefully his knees will be able to come back to what they used to be. And we can roll again. MVP status. MVP.
Yeah, because, I mean, you guys had the best record in the East 2 years running. I mean, the people have been saying it. All it is just Derrick Rose, and that's it.
Oh, no, I mean, man. You look at – especially, I forgot to mention Luol Deng, another guy who's been a huge piece of what we do. Nah, man, you don't blow that team up yet. You kind of just see what happens.
You don't have you ain't got much choice, really, money-wise.
Well, I mean, they still have the amnesty they can use. So, I mean, you could clear off some major cap if you wanted to use it on Boozer, but I don't think they should. You know, they had the first year. They made it to the playoffs their first year. They made it, you know, to the East Conference Finals, lost to Miami.
Yeah.
I mean, that was their first year. That was their first year there, you know, came back this year. Derrick Rose was banged up pretty much the whole year. So, you know, I mean, missing our MVP, I mean, that's as big as you can get. Come playoff time, you know, the injury bug hit him, and then next thing you know, Joakim Noah went down. So our guys were just dropping like flies. So, I mean.
Yes. I mean, maybe hopefully get a full training camp, Richard Hamilton, everybody come back healthy. Now.
Exactly.
What do you do with, because, I mean, it sounds like Derrick Rose is going to be out damn near like the whole season. Do you kind of keep C.J. Watson and, you know, do you just lower your expectations for next year, per se? You're like, all right,
your expectations.
Well, no, but you're not going to be like, all right, we clearly have a team that's capable of fighting for a championship. Like, honestly, without Derrick Rose, they not. But not having Derrick Rose for a full season, what would be a good year for you?
I think if we could make it to 4 or 5 in the East, I think that'd be good.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, please. Even without Derrick Rose, you saw in the regular season, we went 18-9 without him. So it's not like we were absolutely garbage without Derrick Rose. We still had a solid team. You got a solid group of players. You know, you just don't have that major, major superstar player. But, I mean, you look at a team like Indiana. They don't have a major, major superstar. You know, you have an all-star in Danny Granger. We have an all-star in freaking Carlos Boozer and Luol Deng, you know? So, I mean, it's all how you look at it. You look at a team like Philadelphia. They really don't have any all-stars, but they're battling, you know, giving Boston a run for everything they got. So, you know, you never know.
Nah, you don't. I mean, I'm glad you got faith in them because I don't.
Yeah,
I'm expecting them to be the bottom half of the East. I'm talking about playoff wise, not like real bad. But I think they should be able to compete. They just gonna need more from their guys.
Yeah.
Oh, and then we saw Larry Drew from Atlanta got his little extension for next year.
Yeah, that was nice. That was a nice give to him. You know, he's done a good job with that team. They still got some youth to him. I mean, I feel bad for that team because in the 1 year they could have probably turned around their whole franchise, could have drafted Chris Paul and instead took Marvin Williams, which to this day I still don't understand, and I truly believe that set their franchise back probably another 5-6 years.
To this day that was a bad –
They're doing pretty good.
You think Josh Smith is gone? I mean, not. I mean, I know he has one more year, but he's done.
I think he's gone. I think he's gone, and I think they're done with him. He's a guy, in my opinion, he has the ability to be your number two on a really good team, but just on a team like
Atlanta,
he's just.
Don't have enough. I don't know what you want to call it.
They don't have enough firepower, man. I mean, you got Joe Johnson, who resigned there, just in my opinion, because he got stupid money.
Yeah, I can't.
There ain't no way he's turning that down.
Nah, ain't nobody taking – if they going to offer you the damn money.
Exactly. Ain't no way he's turning that down.
Right.
Then you got Al Horford. You know, unfortunately, he got hurt for most of the year, but he's
Al
another
Horford
solid piece.
Yeah, you saw when he came back. He was nice, man. Al Horford
is
nice.
They unfortunately still have yet to get a center since Dikembe was there?
Yeah, since they lost to
Kevin Willis was there.
Yeah, they've not had
It's been a long time. And point guard-wise, I mean,
Teague is
not a bad point guard. He's not a bad point guard. You know, you still got Kirk Heinrich off the bench. But, I mean, they just don't have the firepower. They're just, they don't have enough.
Yeah, maybe you might see a trade with, you know, them and the Lakers. Maybe they get Paul Gasol. I don't know. But, and that fan base is butt. I can't lie.
Yeah,
I mean, what's up with y'all Atlanta fans, man? Y'all don't go down to support them dudes at all. What y'all got popping in Atlanta like that?
I was down there at Morehouse, wasn't nobody giving love to the Atlanta Hawks.
Like, damn.
It was just like, oh, man. I mean, even when the Clippers were bad, you still had Clipper fans out here who went to the games. Atlanta, they just
Atlanta got good. That's the thing.
Atlanta is all – I can tell you straight up from experience, Atlanta is all about the Falcons. Forget the Hawks. They do not care about the Hawks.
It was just fucked up. I guess they ain't cared about the Hawks and Dominique.
Yeah, Dominique. And just a cut break in the podcast real quick. The Clippers are going bananas right now. I don't know what's going on with the Spurs. They're down 22 points after the first quarter.
All
right,
that's
so.
What the fuck?
Blake Griffin actually has 5 rebounds in the first quarter, folks. Holy smokes! Now, see, this is how Blake Griffin is supposed to play. He has 14 points, 7 of 8 in the first quarter, 5 rebounds. That is what makes – that's the all-star Blake Griffin right there. That is what he's capable of, and that is how he should be playing every single night. That's how you got to bring it. So it looks like the Clippers are finally trying to make this a series again, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, they're coming big, man. They're coming big, man. Shoot.
Making you nervous.
Look at. Yeah, I mean – let's hope we go into halftime. We cut that down to half. Let's cut it to like 11.
Yeah, we'll see.
Cut it down. Not this.
Spurs are a veteran team, so I'm sure they ain't stressing it. They've been here before.
Oh no, they ain't panicking. Now that we don't mind, we're gonna switch sports real quick. Now we know we've heard all summer about this. In New Orleans?
Bounty Gate.
Yes, the little Bounty Gate and all that crap.
Lord have mercy.
Yeah. Now you got Jonathan Vilma coming out trying to sue.
Well, I mean, from what everything I've heard and everything I've looked at about it, I mean, there is no real physical evidence. Yes, you could say, okay, the coach told his players to do this and look for these and target these players. There's no physical evidence, though, in the game tape that shows that he actually did that, though. And I believe that's the whole reason he's suing the league, because he feels that, you know, I mean, you honestly really don't have valid proof. You can go by what the coach told me to do, but that doesn't mean I did it.
Right. Yeah, I mean, he's taking a hit. I mean, he's basically my, like, he is that guy.
Well, I mean, he was suspended for the whole year, so I can understand how pissed off he is. I mean, you suspended the head coach for a year, and you're suspending one of the players for 16 games? Oh, come on, man. The coach is always going to – the coach is guaranteed to come back. The player's not guaranteed, and he's losing out on his money for his family. I can understand why he's pissed off.
Well, this is making it sound like he's just a
he's the ringleader. But I don't think he is. You know, I like Jonathan Vilma somewhat just because he has the same name as I do. But I like Jonathan Vilma just because he's a good dude, you know. In the whole years I've been watching him play for the Jets and, you know, for the Saints, you know, he hasn't done anything or, you know, really gone out of his way to really hurt somebody. So I don't see why he would now. But Roger Goodell can do what he wants. He is the commish.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you seen that T-shirt that since, you know, it's always about Tebow, that little Tim Tebow shirt that they did with the Jets logo?
Oh, that he's suing for?
Yeah, I don't blame, but you saw what it looked like, right?
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah, I was like, wow. I actually would think the Jets themselves would be like, ah, this is too close. You biting our logo. No, that's our logo. Stop taking it.
I saw it, and I couldn't believe it, but at the same time, I was like, you know what? He went to New York, and that's exactly what was going to happen. That's exactly the kind of stuff that's just going to happen, dude, and it's distractions, and this is exactly the reason why I cannot blame the Broncos for trading him. It's things like this and distractions like this that take away from the game. It's stuff you shouldn't even have to be dealing with. But you know,
the funny thing is, this is one of the reasons why the Jets brought him in.
Yeah,
is for, you know, basically for merchandising.
Yeah, to make some money. So
yeah, but those of you who have not seen the shirt, it basically looks like the New York Jets logo. Instead of saying NY Jets, it says My Jesus with the cross where the football line should be. I mean, I was like, wow, he did a good job and was cashing in. But, yeah, they had to be smart and be like, nah, dude, stop.
Yeah. I cannot believe it, but, you know, Tim Tebow, you know, God bless his soul, no pun intended. He just – I feel bad for the kid because he didn't ask for this. He didn't ask for all this attention. But due to the kind of person he is and what he does and what he preaches, you know, he was bound to eventually draw attention to himself. And
it
kind of sucks because the fact that he won kind of made it even bigger.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so let's see. How long before he start? I mean, you think before he start? Oh,
do you think four games?
Oh, okay. Damn.
Yeah, I think by the fourth game, I think he'll be in that starting lineup, and I think that's it for Mark
Sanchez.
That's
too damn early, man. Four games? I mean, Mark Sanchez ain't great, but he ain't terrible either.
He's not great, but he's not terrible. But, you know, mentally, he just, yeah, I don't think he fits the mold for what you want in a quarterback, personally.
Yeah, that's true. I hear you that. I hear that on you. Well, it looks like we're out of time, folks. We want to thank y'all for tuning in to the Brothers Layman Show. Hope you've enjoyed yourselves with Chris and Jonathan. Check us out. You can find a podcast on www.blackisonline.com. Some great information on there, as well as the wonderful Black Is Break featuring Casey Layman and the Black Is fam. You can also email us at thebrotherslayman@gmail.com. Let us know what you think. Send you whatever's on your mind sports wise. Let us know. Everybody have a great day.
All opinions accepted. Peace.
Sure thing, certain prophets would it bring. Ceremonies of the ringer in the White House wing. Clear your mantle, the trophies I bring. Do you want to trade?
I was waiting for nothing.
Cause in the end, it's a teammate you're looking for. Back shoot and go to ball. Leaves it all on the floor. Always looking to score. Pep toss in the locker room. This is why you sing a song.
I was waiting for nothing.
And injuries can't make me sit out. I go till you get out. Hook off, no did out. An all night bid out. I train for the pressure and come out fresher. Equipped for the game, you know my name, it makes me better. A cheer for the home team. Let's go for the whole thing. The balance that you're holding, MVP voting. And I represent the sentiment you're emoting, as you say.
I was waiting for nothing.
The physical ability with mental capability legitimately places me inside of your vicinity. And I ain't really seeing me vacating this community. I'm staying in.
I wasn't waiting for nothing.
I'm glad that you feel this way. Here's where I like to play. Need to hear it every day. They cheer for me, say ole. Wait a minute, underlay? I don't know. Well, anyway.
There was a lot of talk. There was buzz, and your name came up in the trade rumors. How seriously did you take that?
Not serious at all, really.